90.5 FM KSJS presents
Mecca 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, the most merciful, the most gracious. Welcome to Mecca One Radio, right here on the station, 90.5 FM, KSJS. One people, one message, one life. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Peace and blessings be upon you. We all know that we have been placed in this world to take a huge test. As God says, it is Allah who has created death and life so that He may test who among you is best indeed, and He is the Almighty, oft forgiving. In Surah Al-Mulk, chapter 67, verse 2. So every minute, every second of our lives is a test from God. Understanding tests. This is the topic of discussion today, and alhamdulillah, all praise due to God, we have with us Sheikh Suhaib Webb to help us in this very important topic, understanding tests. Assalamu alaikum, ya Sheikh.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
How you doing?
Alhamdulillah, how's it going?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah.
It's been a while since I've seen you.
Word, word.
How's Harun?
Harun Batar? I don't know, I haven't, he was supposed to email you, did he?
No, I haven't heard from him. I think
really?
He went to Hogwarts, yeah.
I thought he joined the madrasa in Pakistan.
I don't know.
So, ya Sheikh, if you could please start us off, inshallah.
Yeah, I think when we talk about tests, especially nowadays in the current times and what we see going on in the world around us, the different tests and trials and tribulations that we face as Muslims as well as non-Muslims, I think it's important to realize that Islamically we would believe that, as you mentioned earlier, the verse from the 67th chapter, the second verse, that we've been created for tests. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لَبُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنَ وَعَمَلَ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ غَفُورُ. Allah says in the Quran that God says that He created human beings to test us, to see which one of us is the best in actions. So we believe that tests are an integral part of our creation and an integral part of our life. And we believe that tests are one of the natural laws which have been ordained by our Creator for us to live within our existence. That the wisdom behind creation itself is tests.
Right. So does Islam in any way recognize different types of tests? I mean, or are all tests of the same color?
Yeah, I think it's very important also for us to realize that when we look at tests, we should understand that there are different kinds. Islamically, from the theological aspect of our religion, Islam, we believe that tests are basically broken into two parts. One is what we call al-ibtila. And al-ibtila, it means something that happens to someone, something that happens to someone, whether good or bad, as a means to distinguish the good or bad qualities of that person. And this type of test happens to the believers, those people who believe in God, those people who try to follow the ways of the prophets, those people who try to live good lives. The second is what we call al-fitna. Al-fitna. Fitna, F-I-T-N-A, is translated many times as trials. But if you go to the Arabic language, actually fitna, it also means something extremely hot. Also, fitna can mean killing. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَتَنُوا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. Indeed, those who فَتَنُوا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, those who kill the believing men and believing women. But the meaning that we want to focus on today, which is very interesting, is that actually al-fitna, the word fitna, it means when the person who deals with gold and silver, he takes the raw substance, the raw ore from the earth, and he heats it, and he burns it, and the waste from this gold and silver will come off, leaving only the pure shiny substance of gold or silver. So al-fitna are those things which happen to us which enable us to distinguish our bad qualities from our good qualities. We can shed the bad qualities that we have and try to come out shiny and pure. Also, like working out, when somebody works out and their body temperature increases and they begin to sweat.
Right.
They sweat out the toxins.
Right.
And they burn the fat. So the heat is used also as a simile to show us spiritually how we can rid ourselves of the fat and waste which surrounds our spiritual nature. The third type of test or component of test is called al-istidraj. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَنَسْتَدْرِجُهُمْ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses this word al-istidraj. Al-istidraj means to take someone stage by stage by stage. And what this means is that those people who disbelieve in their Creator, those people who are out there, you know, living in sin, away from their Lord, they are falling deeper and deeper and deeper into misguidance. They are going deeper and deeper, level after level after level. And this is called al-istidraj. That level after level after level, people keep getting misguided, misguided, misguided. I remember when I was in the streets, and I had, you know, to change myself around, or I was going to go to jail. And I said to myself, yeah, I got to change myself. And then, you know, 2 days later, I'm doing worse than I was, you know, the days before.
Right.
Because this is al-istidraj. Stage after stage after stage, somebody's going down, down, deeper, deeper, deeper into problems.
Right. It's like, subhanAllah, it reminds me of, you hear all the time how marijuana is like the gateway drug. You know, it leads you into, you know, greater, like bigger drugs like cocaine and crack and I don't know the other ones, alhamdulillah. But that's like, so you start out small, or so you think. And subhanAllah, actually maybe starts even before that with just cigarettes. From cigarettes to marijuana to, I don't even know, you know. So is that in the same sense what you're talking about, how it just gets...
Yeah, I mean, there's a statement about minor sins. You know, people say, you know, we have big sins and little sins. So there was a very nice statement about small sins that someone said, the example of small sins is like a people who went to the desert and they wanted to start a fire. So each one of the people went and grabbed a small stick and they threw this very small stick in the place for the fire. And after everyone collected these small sticks, it was enough to make what? To make the fire.
Right.
So the same with, you know, slowly, slowly I'm disobeying my Creator. I'm avoiding the message of the prophets. I've turned my back on a divine lifestyle, then I can expect that I'm going to go deeper and deeper and deeper into misguidance.
How does God test us?
Yeah, I think when we talk about how God tests us, as we mentioned earlier, we believe, as a great book called Sunan Ilahi Fil Kaun, that tests are part of our life. I mean, getting up out of the bed in the morning to go to work is a test. You know, studying for your school is a test. Being nice to your family members is a test. Doing the work correctly and not doing it in the wrong way is a test. So everything around us involves some type of test. We should, as Muslims, we look at tests in actually three different ways. One is on the individual level, second is on the family level, and the third is on the societal level. On the individual level, maybe the tests take different forms. I'm struggling with myself. I'm struggling to get closer to my Creator. I'm struggling to find the meaning of life. What's the essence of my being in this existence as a human being? And this is a test. From the family level, that we struggle sometimes to get along as family members, that we struggle to put our family on the right path, to make sure that we raise good children, that we make sure we raise good offspring, that we marry women instead of just walking around and dropping kids on them and leaving them like trash outside in the street.
Right.
That as human beings, we take advantage of the blessing that God has given us and marry and raise families and raise God-conscious families. The third is the societal level, and basically you can start from the individual to the family, and the individual and the family reality is going to be reflected in the society around us. So if the individual is corrupted and the family is corrupted, then the society as a whole will be corrupted. If the society is sound, then we can trace that back to individual soundness. And the society will be tested in a lot of different ways, on the choices that they make as a society, in the type of environment that they create as a society, the type of values and morals that they have in their society. All of these can be means of a test for a society. And actually, in the Quran, all three are mentioned, but specifically about the societal test or the test of a nation. In the 6th chapter of the Quran, verses 42 through 45, we find the following verses. Before you, O Muhammad, we sent messengers to many nations, and we afflicted the nations with suffering and adversity, the tests, that they might learn humility. When the suffering reached them from us, why then did they not learn humility? On the contrary, their hearts became hardened and Satan made their sinful acts seem alluring to them. And listen to this verse. It's very scary if you think about now, you know, our current situation around the world in general.
Right.
But when they forgot the warning they had received, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ, it means, and when they forgot the message of the prophets that were given to them and their holy books. But when they forgot the warning they had received, we opened to them the gates of all good things until in the midst of their enjoyment of our gifts, all of a sudden we called them to account and they were plunged into despair. So this is the societal punishment, that this istidraj, when a nation or a state turns its back on the way of God and it turns its back on the way of the prophets, then they will be given the goods of this life. And they will think, oh, now, mashallah, I have all this, I have that, I got this, I got it going on. God must love me. Actually, this is al-istidraj. That in fact, it is the opposite. They are being tested, and they are continually flunking tests. So someone that's out there that's a sinner, they're like, shoot, I don't know what this guy's talking about. I'm doing all kind of dirt. I'm doing all kind of bad things, and my life is great. This is a deception. As the Quran mentions, this is al-ghurur, like a mirage in a desert.
Right.
It looks nice, it tastes nice, it might even feel nice. But the reality of it is that it's bringing people to a doom, and it's bringing people to destruction.
So it's covered. In other words, they're blinded by it.
Most definitely, yeah.
I see sometimes when I'm watching like the news, right? They have these like sexual kid offenders or something like that. They walk around and then they do their sinful acts, and then they get caught, right? Then they're punished. They're in like jail for like, I don't know, like 2-3 years, and then they come out. Then the next day they do the same thing. So subhanAllah, it's like then you know, okay, this person didn't pass the test here, you know what I'm saying? He didn't learn his lesson.
And all of this also is part of the deception of the devil. I mean, we believe as Muslims that one of the greatest jobs of the devil is to make the evil beautiful.
Right.
I mean, for example, let's take the concept of Maxim magazine, or For Him magazine, or Playboy, or Penthouse, or whatever those magazines now that people read. I'm sure there's no Muslim boys that read those magazines.
Hopefully.
And, you know, take the Christian scripture, take the Jewish scripture, take the Hindu scripture, take the Buddhist scripture, take the Muslim scripture. All of them will condemn this type of nudity.
Right.
All of the, especially the Jewish and Christian and Muslim I'm familiar with, since I was a Christian before,
right.
They condemn this type of abomination. So what we see is that people have taken, for example, a half-naked woman on front of a magazine cover, J-Lo, as being beautiful. Where in fact, according to the true reality of beauty, the scriptural reality of beauty, this is an abomination. This is ugly. So this is a test. People have fallen into this trap of the devil. That
right.
They think that this is beautiful when in fact the reality of beauty is something else. For example, in the Quran, it describes cattle as beautiful. It describes vegetables as beautiful. It describes mountains as beautiful. As the sun is beautiful. Imagine if we went to all of the Maxim magazines, ladies and gentlemen, and brothers and sisters that are listening, right now as you're driving by your 7-Eleven or the gas station, imagine if you went in there and you took all of the Maxim magazines out and you took that half-naked hoochie mama off the cover of the magazine and you replaced it with lettuce or you replaced it with a cow.
Subhanallah.
And do you think that people would still, you know, buy this magazine? No, because people are blinded. People are lost in the false reality of the test of this life.
So this can be seen like the test of our desires.
Exactly. And we look at some of the types of tests. You mentioned one is desires. What else?
Wealth.
Definitely wealth. What else would you say?
Health.
We're tested by our health. How do we use our health when we had it?
Right, exactly. Because I know some young kids, right? They be running around doing whatever they think is clever, right? All the bad things, all the bad boy activities. And they think, they have this illusion in their head, like they're going to live for a little while, you know what I'm saying? Like, wait a minute, I'm going to get old and start praying and start, you know, trying to mellow down. Right now, I'm trying to chill, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to party. But subhanAllah, I was just talking to a friend the other day, and I hadn't seen him for a while, and I was like telling him, how you doing, and this and that. We started talking about motorcycles, right? And his friend, who maybe I ran into him too, I don't remember, but he was like 21, and he was busting wheelies in the parking lot at Eastridge without his helmet on. I don't know, okay? And
this is illegal.
Yeah. And subhanAllah, he passed away. The only time he fell, that
passed
was...
Passed away doing a wheelie.
Passed away doing a wheelie. And
wow.
he's straight gone. This is another illusion, again, that Shaitan paints in our head, that we're going to be here for a while. We're going to chill and kick it. We got this life to enjoy. But in actuality, we're here to take this test. So subhanAllah, in order to understand the concept of test, I think one must need to understand the concept of accountability. Because many people in this world living around, they don't think that there's going to be graduation day. So what are we doing? SubhanAllah, this is another delusion from Shaitan. He's telling us that we got a little time to relax. We got a little time to smoke that blunt. We got a little time to just miss a few classes, you know what I'm saying? You got a while to start growing our beards and putting hijab on and making wudu and start praying, you know? This is all a deception for Shaitan, just like my friend's friend. He's straight gizon, you know? And he left this world in this state.
Wow.
SubhanAllah. So this is something really that we need to take this test seriously.
I mean, a clear example of it is the anti-war movement.
Right.
You know, you find many people now that are very much involved in the anti-war movement, and then you find those other people that are like, yeah, our family is civilian, not an Iraqi soldier. So how long are you going to keep waiting? 20 farmers are killed by a bomb which is dropped on the farmland. So how long are we going to wait? The other thing is, for example, like environmental causes. People are like, well, I'm going to wait till the hole in the ozone gets over North America.
Right.
And then I'm going to get involved in environmental causes. I mean, well, by the time that the hole, you know, comes over North America, you know, you're basically going to be sitting in water. So these are areas where people are not passing the test. People are disillusioned by other things, by delaying things.
Yeah.
Some of the areas that, you know, some of the different type of tests that we find, like you were saying, is like wealth. Also, we're tested with good things and bad things. Many people think that only tests come in bad ways.
Yeah, this is actually a very important point, that we are tested with the good and the bad. And the good, why do we get tested in the good? I mean, what's the test in the good, if you could explain to us?
Yeah, well, I mean, the test in the good is to develop a certain psychological reality, which we'll talk about later on. But when we talk about the wisdoms of tests, but we're tested in good and bad to develop two specific qualities in our outlook towards life. Also, we're tested by the attractions of this life, as we mentioned earlier. Also, the loss of loved ones. We lose our friends, we lose our family, we lose people that are close to us, and those losses are means of test for us. Also, we struggle or we're tested in trying to do what's right. And maybe this is one of the greatest tests that our brothers and sisters and our non-Muslim friends listening to go through at their workplace, at their school, is the test to do what's right. You know, every day we're confronted with two options, to do what's right, to do what's wrong. And it's a struggle, because sometimes what's right according to the masses is wrong, and what's wrong according to the masses is right. And that's a hard, hard, hard test to pass through.
SubhanAllah, that's a very, very important point. And if I could elaborate on that, like, for example, the times we're living in, being chaste and being pure and being a virgin is like something that, what? You crazy, dog? What the heck?
Are you different?
Are you different?
Yeah.
What? I mean, something's wrong with you.
Yeah.
And that's what the norm is now.
You're not going to prom?
What? What? You crazy? Are you retarded?
You don't smoke blunts?
What? Are you insane? You don't
listen to Ja Rule?
You don't listen to Snoop?
Yeah.
What?
Is that Charlie Brown's dog?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
But yeah, I mean, you're in an area where things have been flipped.
Right.
Where, again, if you put a cow in the centerfold of Maxim, nobody would buy it.
Right.
You know, Bobo the Moo Cow instead of J-Lo the Hoochie Mama, it's going to be a big difference, right?
Right.
And a lot of times for our young brothers and sisters out there, you have to think about this, that what popular culture is throwing at you as being wholesome and pure is actually evil by its nature. And the opposite is pure. It's not easy. I mean, talking about God at school is not cool.
Right.
Being a godly person, unfortunately, is not cool.
Right. Talking about the purpose of life or what happens to us after death is
death.
Like,
when I'm going to die.
What? I ain't going to die. What you talking about, man?
Yeah.
Shoot, I don't die
when
I'm...
Let me pop that wheelie.
Okay, yeah. Oh, astaghfirullah. May Allah give him jannah. SubhanAllah.
So that's a tough reality. Other ways that we're tested is to our families, to our mothers, to our fathers, and also with our wives and our husbands. Many times our husband and our wives can be tests for us. Also, we should realize one important thing, and that is, you know, who are the people who suffer the greatest amount of tests?
Probably the prophets, right?
Yeah, the Prophet Muhammad said, أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ بَلَاءً الْأَنْبِيَ ثُمَّ صَالِحٌ. The Prophet said that the people who are tested the most are the prophets and the righteous. And we're going to talk, inshallah, about that a little later on.
Okay, inshallah, I guess we're going to take a break. We'll be back with Mecca One right here on this station, 90.5 FM, KSJS. Keep it locked.
Mecca One, 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 one.
To help support Mecca One Radio, or to bring Mecca One Radio to your city, please visit us on the web at www.meccaone.org. That's www.meccaone.org.
Mecca One, 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 one.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, the most merciful, the most gracious. Welcome back to Mecca One, right here in this station, 90.5 FM, KSJS. We actually just had a caller, and she was just thanking us for saying what we're saying, and she wasn't Muslim, so alhamdulillah, thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping it locked right here on this station, 90.5 FM KSJS. If you guys do have any questions, give us a call, 408-924-5757.
Come here.
Right.
Yeah, someone's at the door.
Okay.
Hold on a minute.
All right. I guess Sheikh Saheb's going to get the door real quick. I think our guest speaker has arrived.
Cleo, call me now for your free tarot reading. Call me now for your free tarot reading.
I guess thank you for that introduction there, Miss Cleo. Cleo is joining us.
Yeah, man, what you doing, you crazy love child?
I got a question.
Yeah.
Who's Cleo?
Well, you know, do you watch TV?
No, I'm a sheikh. We don't have TVs.
Okay, let me break it down for you one time, yeah. I used to do this show, yeah, people used to call me, and I used to tell them what's going on in their lives, yeah. Tarot reading. Call me now. I'm sorry, Miss Cleo.
Oh, were you that lady that was indicted like about 3 months ago?
Yeah, that's why I'm here on the show,
isn't
yeah.
Isn't your real name like Lucinda Williams from Compton?
Yeah. See, I'm going through some tests, yeah. And I found out Mecca One. See, I'm on the Mecca One email list, yeah. And I knew that you guys talk about tests, and I'm going through some tests right now.
What kind of tests are you going
through? I'm going through some crazy buck wild tests, yeah.
Okay.
The cops are looking for me. FBI searching for me, yeah. Going through my phone numbers.
You must be Muslim then.
Not yet, yeah.
Because this happened to all of us.
Anyway, thank you, Miss Cleo. If you could please calm down and sit in the corner. And thank you for that lovely introduction there.
No, but let's talk about this tarot reading thing. What's tarot reading? I mean, what do you do?
Okay, well, you know the psychic friends, yeah?
No, I told you, sheikhs okay. Don't you know that sheikhs don't have TVs? That's how I got my degree in sheikhdom. I don't have a TV.
Anyway, bottom line, I met up with Harry. You know Harry Potter?
Oh, yeah, we know Harry.
Yeah, he was on the show, yeah, and we on the same type of floor, yeah. We took a class together in Potions.
Oh, in Hogwarts.
Right. And he was telling me he changed his name and everything to Harun Bota. He's Muslim now. Yeah, so I got interested, signed up on the Mecca One email list, yeah. And now I'm here. I want to go through some tests. And I want to know what the deal is.
Well, Cleo, you know, we believe in one creator and one lord and one prophet, the Prophet Muhammad, and we believe in all the other prophets.
Yeah. What about black magic, yeah?
Well, we don't believe... What
about the tarot reading?
Okay, Cleo, when you were going
to... What about the crystal ball, yeah? What happened? Looks like the sheikh lost his composure. He's tripping out, yeah, love Charles. Okay, you give us a call. Call me now for your free tarot reading. Why not?
Sorry, Miss Cleo, you can't actually...
Cleo, that's haram, Cleo. You can't do that.
Yeah.
All the stuff that you was asking about is strictly forbidden on our religion.
No, you see, this is how I make my money.
But when Cleo, it call me with the 1-800. Don't you see how you're getting tested right now? Because you're doing all this bad stuff. You don't even really talk like that. Your name is Lucinda Williams from Compton.
Oh, no, you didn't. Just go there, girl.
See, right there. I mean...
Oh, no. That was... No, what you talking about? Okay.
Cleo, look.
Okay,
wouldn't
okay,
you like
I
to enjoy... Excuse me, Cleo.
Okay.
Wouldn't you like to enjoy the peace and tranquility of submitting yourself to your creator? Don't you see how happy Harry is now at Hogwarts?
Yeah.
So, Cleo...
Yeah.
I would like to... invite you to submit yourself to your God. And we want to tell you that all this black magic stuff is...
Call me now! Call me now for your free tarot reading!
1-800-423-255!
What, man? You crazy, man.
Cleo, don't call me crazy, Cleo.
Sorry.
Cleo.
Yeah?
Think about what I'm telling to you. Look, when you came here tonight, I found you were lost in the hallway. If you really knew the future, how come you were lost in the hallway?
Okay, you pulled my plug, yeah.
So that means you don't know anything.
Okay, I'm here for healing. I'm here for healing.
So you need to submit, man.
I don't know.
Okay, I think we're going to take a break right now, inshallah.
You got to submit, Cleo.
And we'll be
you
back.
You got to submit, girl.
We'll be back right after this, inshallah. So keep it locked for Mecca One. Herself her name now is, I don't know. What?
Khadija.
Khadija, subhanAllah. So, Khadija, if you could please tell us how you're feeling, I guess.
Let me break it down in the name of God, the one only, yeah. I'd like to thank the Sheikh for putting some light into my heart. Thank you. Thank you, child.
My pleasure.
Thank you. I know you're going to teach me right now.
Well, we got some nice sisters that can teach you.
Why not you? I like your fluffy beard. See, why are you so nervous, man?
You can talk to my...
I can't do that as a Muslim.
You have to talk to Shifa about that, man.
Oh, yeah, Shifa. I know about her. She be blowing up my cell phone.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway. So...
It's 2 years old, clear.
Call me now for your free tarot reading.
No,
oh, yeah, I can't do that no more.
Yeah.
Sorry.
This is a test for you now. A test to submit to your creator and leave.
So that means I got to stop my tarot reading?
See, we got a lot of young brothers and sisters out there, right?
Right.
They're doing bad things. This is a test. They're trying to leave it, right?
Right.
So now you're in the same predicament. I'm also trying to leave bad things, right? So
right.
You also have to leave this. This is your test to submit to your Lord.
So I got
to
struggle.
You got to struggle.
I got to put things behind me.
You got to put things behind you. And please freshen your breath.
Sorry. I know you guys be using some miswak. I got me to get me some up on that, yeah.
Okay. Alhamdulillah. So maybe we can hook you up with Haroon and you guys can
get married. Yeah, I got his cell phone number and his wand. I mean, no, he threw away the wand. I mean, I got his cell phone and his email, yeah.
Okay.
Haroon Bhattar at Yahoo. No problem.
Cleo, I'm sorry. We're going to have to move on to the show. We've got about...
I don't seven, Cleo. Thanks for coming by.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks for having me on the show. My name is Khadija now. Don't call me Cleo.
Yes, Khadija.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Wa
okay, so, wa alaikum salam, Cleo. Can you please let her out the dough, please?
Yeah.
Okay. SubhanAllah. And SubhanAllah, ladies
man, that was amazing.
I know, Cleo, man. SubhanAllah.
Wow. Lucinda Thompson from Compton, California, become Muslim, man.
Takbir.
Allahu Akbar.
Takbir.
Allahu Akbar.
SubhanAllah. Anyway, that was, if you guys don't know, alhamdulillah, that happens actually to us often.
It wasn't Harry Potter, right, then Cleo?
Yeah, I guess they be talking and stuff, and, you know, words gets around, you know.
Right.
SubhanAllah. Truth is truth, so SubhanAllah.
That's cool, man. It's cool.
Yeah, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, it wasn't J-Lo.
Yeah, we probably get jacked.
Yeah, we got jacked up.
Okay, anyway.
Mecca 1111.
If you guys have any questions or comments about the show so far, 408-924-KSJS is the phone number. And so basically, Sheikh Soheib, I got a question for you.
Sure.
I know it seems like...
Can we drop the Sheikh stuff, please?
Okay, sorry. What I call you, brother?
Yeah, brother. Okay. Brother is fine.
Okay, brother Soheib.
Zuhaib. Yeah.
It seems in the last century or so, the world has actually... I think through the beginning of time, through, subhanAllah, I can relate back to the first story of the first human being, which was Adam,
yeah.
Prophet Adam, peace be upon him, and Eve, peace be upon them both. We see that they were tested with the temptation of their desires to pick from the forbidden tree. And they picked from the tree. And what happened?
They fell from grace,
Mecca
right?
See that Shaitan, or the devil... He also disobeyed God, right? He didn't bow down to Adam. And Eve and Adam, they also disobeyed God by eating from the forbidden fruit. But what's the difference? The difference is that Adam and Eve, they repented. And that's the key for us Muslims, is that yes, we know that we're not perfect. We know that we got some filth on us. We know that we sin day in and day out. But the key is, do we stop and seek for forgiveness, ask for forgiveness, because we all know that God is out there. Because subhanAllah, He made us, He created us, and He knows our weaknesses, and He knows our strengths better than we know our weaknesses and our strengths. So the key is that we have to, inshallah, turn back and repent to our Creator. So back to my question, I'd like to ask, I know we've been witnessing throughout time, and specifically in America, we've been seeing that the Muslims, as well as all of us in general, we've been afflicted with tests.
Yeah, I mean, specifically... Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. For the Muslim nation, I mean, those brothers and sisters out there who are Muslims, I mean, listen to the following verse of Quran. This is from the third chapter of the Quran, the 179th verse. It says that Allah, God Almighty, will not leave the believers in the state in which they are in until He separates what is evil from what is good. So, meaning, the scholars explaining this verse said that يَتَمَيْزُ الْخَبِيثِ مِنَ الطَّيِّبِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God Almighty, will distinguish between the evil and the good. By what? By tests. You know, like for example, look at 9/11/01. It was a great tragedy for the world as well as this country. I mean, look at the difficulties since that time till this present time that Muslims have gone through. in the areas of civil rights,
right,
in the areas of basic, you know, rights that we as Americans took basically for granted for so many years. Now as Muslims, I mean, going to the airport, you know, it's very difficult for being a Muslim going to the airport.
Right.
You know, going into places where, you know, like courtrooms and court offices and governmental offices as a Muslim, if the people know that you're a Muslim, if your name is a Muslim name, like, for example, my name is William Webb, right? So when I go someplace, there's no problem. But if a Muslim, like, buys my ticket, you know, to fly somewhere,
right,
and that name, like an Arab name or Pakistani name or Malaysian name, is the one who purchased the ticket, man, they search me, like, two or three times going to the airplane.
Right.
So, like, after 9/11/01, especially as Muslims, we saw that it was a great test for our nation. And some of our people, they flipped. You know, they went from, you know, having their names to changing their names to, like, you know, more American-sounding names. They hid their identity.
Right, like Muhammad became Mo.
Yeah, one of the Three Stooges.
Right.
You know, Dawood became Dre. Fatima became Faye Dog. I mean, it just really was a bad situation. Many
right.
Muslims quit coming to the mosque. They said, you know, I'm scared people are going to, you know, people are going to kill us or something.
Right.
And then on the opposite end, we saw some brothers and sisters who were out there before 9/11/01, you know, like going to raves and DJing and stuff and using drugs and messing with girls and girls messing with guys and so forth. And then after 9/11, you know, they actually became better Muslims. So this test of 9/11 for our community brought out the good and the bad. Those people who are going to stand up as Americans for their rights, their civil rights, to challenge, you know, the false precepts that Islam is being judged under. The other kind of test that we went through was the internal test. Like, you know, after 9/11/01, now as a Muslim on campus, someone might come up to you and be like, you know, they would say, like, you know, why you got that on your head, girl? And then a Muslim sister will say to herself, you know, I don't really know why I wear this.
Right.
Or maybe someone will come to a brother in a classroom and say, what's jihad? What's jihad? And the brother's like, you know, I don't know what is jihad. Or someone asks, you know, does Osama bin Laden's beliefs, you know, reflect, or the ideas that he talks about on the videos that we saw, are those reflective of what Islam really is?
Right.
And then Muslims realize that they don't have that much knowledge about their religion. So the test now is, you know, to learn and be able to defend yourself intellectually, or just to stay stuck and stupid.
Right.
And these tests, you know, bring out who's really going to be down for the cause of the Muslims and the cause of what's right, and also as well as non-Muslims, those causes that we can work together and that we agree on, like justice and peace and love and so forth. Or on the opposite end, you know, am I going to flip the script and run away like Carl Lewis trying to get a gold medal?
Right. So, in other words, there's three outcomes in the test.
Yeah, I mean, if you look specifically at any nation of any prophet, for example, the nation of Jesus, peace be upon him, or the nation of Moses.
Right.
And now the nation of Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the last prophet sent to humanity.
Right.
We find, especially with the Muslims, that we're being tested in three or four following areas. One of them is with our over-dedication to leadership. And we see that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he died, this was the greatest test for the Muslims. In fact, some of the Muslims were saying that Muhammad didn't die. Like Moses, he's going to go for 40 days and 40 nights and come back, right?
Right.
Whereas Abu Bakr, he read the following verse in the Quran from the third chapter, the 144th verse, where it says, Muhammad, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدَ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْرِهِ الرُّسُلُ. That Muhammad is no more than a messenger. Many were the messengers that passed away before him. If he died or were slain, would you then turn on your heels and run away? So we have to dedicate ourselves to the call of Islam, not to callers, not to individuals, but to the actual call of Islam, to the way of life of Islam. You know, like sometimes if our favorite speaker is not going to be at the masjid giving a khutbah, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't go to Jummah, because our dedication is not to the speaker.
Right.
Our dedication is to our religion, our faith. The other test for Muslims is that we relax and be Muslims, right? You catch a Muslim cat at the club dancing with some girl or some guy DJing a party, you know, or you catch somebody, you know, out doing bad things, and then you're like, yo, why are you doing this? And they're like, well, I'm a Muslim, so I'm going to paradise. I mean, look at the wife of Lot, Prophet Lot, mentioned in the Old Testament as well as the Quran.
Right.
Where, although she was the wife of a prophet, Allah said, وَقِيلَ دَخُلَ النَّارَ مَعَ الدَّاخِلِينَ. That also the wife of Noah and the wife of Lot, they're from the hellfire. Although they were this close to the prophets, but because of the way they lived their life and the way they transgressed against the prophetic call, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to put them in the hellfire. So what about us? We're not the wives of the prophet. We're not the husbands of or the family members of the prophet. We're just everyday Joe. And we think just because we say La ilaha illallah, we're saved.
Right. So there's basically no free ticket or free ride to Jannah.
Mecca 1:1:1.
If you don't mind, I got an analogy I want to discuss about.
Drop that, man.
About test preparation. And this, I'm going to use the analogy of like a pop quiz. Like we got to take a pop quiz in school. Those of y'all who went to school, alhamdulillah, know what a pop quiz is, okay? So basically my analogy is a pop quiz also, but the pop quiz of life. As soon as you pop out, you're taking that quiz. So obviously we need a book to study, right?
Yeah, you gotta get ready for the quiz.
You gotta get ready for the quiz. So, what is that book? That book is our Quran. This is our study book. This is the book that, and subhanAllah, we're tested every single day, right? So how often do you think we should read the Quran? The second tool we needed to prepare for this test is the history of the prophets, like you mentioned earlier. They're examples for us.
Man, you know what one scholar said about the stories of the prophets?
Yeah.
He said, the stories of the prophets are junmin junurillah, are soldiers from the soldiers of Allah. I mean, that when you read these stories, right, it's like soldiers that will support your weak heart. So like when you're going through hard times, right, you get this army behind you, and that's the stories of the prophets.
Right.
I mean, like, look at the stories of Prophet Jesus, you know, how he suffered, how people was trying to kill him, how people was trying to take him out, and still he called to the truth.
Right.
Look at the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People trying to take him out. Look at you and me. We think, you know, we compare, like, you know, wearing a hijab at school or praying on time or growing a beard as a brother or being a good husband to my wife. Do we think, or a wife to my husband? Do we think that that's more difficult than what the prophets went through? So that's a very good point you just made, brother.
SubhanAllah. So the prophets, they're like our past exams. We know they've aced those tests, right? So there are living examples how to pass those tests. And obviously the prophets, their tests were much greater than ours, the tests that we go through. Our third tool is ibadah, or worship. And worship can be closely defined as homework. Like, these are our homework projects, right? We got our prayer, we got our fasting, we got our hajj, we got our giving charity. These are all our homework to prepare us for the test. Our fourth tool, which I want to mention, is the company of our friends, right? Whose company do we keep? Who do we get influenced by? Who do we spend our time with? Our friends, right? And this can be closely examined or closely compared to our study group, right? If you're taking a test, you don't want to be around people who don't study or playing video games.
Yeah, you got to have good friends.
Or picking their nose or going out watching a movie.
Hey,
no, you need dedicated study.
You know what the Prophet said, man?
What?
Go ahead, my man. Go ahead. I'm gonna
No, go ahead,
man.
Go ahead.
You flowing, man.
No, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Go ahead.
The Prophet said, like, a friend is like someone who sells perfume, right?
Right.
You might not get the perfume, but just by being around that person, you get the scent of the perfume.
Right.
So, and a bad friend is like a blacksmith. You might not become a blacksmith. We're not saying being a blacksmith is bad, right?
Right.
But when you leave them, you have the scent of being a blacksmith.
Right. And
so that's how friends work, right?
And the least thing that can happen is your clothes get dirty. You may not be even doing nothing, but subhanAllah, you come walking
the signs.
Out. Yeah. Like, for example, if I be hanging around with my friend who smokes, right? I come home, and my mom be like, "Were you smoking a cigarette?" And I be
cigarette?
Like, "Yeah." And actually, she doesn't have accent, alhamdulillah. She was, you know what I'm saying, raised in England. So she goes, "Were you smoking on a cigarette?" And I said, "No." She said, "Well, who were you around with who was smoking?" I said, "Oh, man, I was with so-and-so and so-and-so." You know
what
I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true, man. That's true.
So, subhanAllah, your friends is like your study group. Who you hang out with makes a big impact on how we need to prepare for this test. SubhanAllah. And so, when does the bell ring? The bell rings basically when you die, right? That's when it's over. And what is the outcome of graduation day? Either pass or fail, right? Pass is you go to heaven. Fail, you go to hell. Is there any turning back? No. It's not like you go over here, you can take the class over, you know what I'm saying? You're stuck for life. SubhanAllah. So this is
very
something,
nice analogy, man.
Something we need to reflect on, inshallah.
Mecca 1-1-1-1.
Well, I got a question for you, Sheikh Suhaib. What are some, brother Suhaib, what are some of the things we can do to alleviate tests?
Yeah, what are some of the things we can do, practical things we can do to make it through?
Right.
Test. What would you think is one?
SubhanAllah, just building our relationship with our Creator.
Yeah, I mean, the most important one is to have the correct belief system.
Right.
That we should believe that everything that happens to us.
Right, and that's, SubhanAllah, that's closely linked to, and I forgot to mention this in my analogy, was this is like when you get the test, right, is reading the directions. If the teacher, if the teacher says, okay, you got to take this test here and you got to use a number 2 pencil. But if you're trying to say, nah, I'm going to take this in an ink pen.
You're going to flunk.
He's not even going to
get all the answers right.
He's not even going to look at your test. He'll straight throw it in the trash. You know what I'm saying?
It's like bid'ah, innovation.
Exactly. In the same sense, we see like some Muslims, may Allah guide them, they'd be like, I'm going to pray first and then make wudu.
Frank Sinatra madhab. I got to do it my way.
Or the Burger King madhab, right?
Have it your way.
Okay.
Hold the onions
and, you know what I'm saying?
The most important thing is to have the correct belief system.
Right.
How we understand cognitively who is our Lord, what is the purpose of life, and what is our role as human beings in this life. The second one is, as you mentioned earlier, is to read the stories of the prophets and the righteous people. The third one is that the Prophet Muhammad said, peace be upon him, that for every disease there is a remedy. For every disease there is a remedy. So we should never give up hope, no matter how hard is our test, how difficult is our test. no matter how hard our struggle is, whatever the disease that is afflicting us, whether it be spiritual, internal, physical, mental, whatever, there's always a remedy for that disease that Allah has given us. So we should never lose hope in Him. Also, we should realize that supplication is one of our greatest weapons. By supplicating to our Creator and by praying to our Creator, it's one of the best weapons we have. Because the Prophet said, when you supplicate to your Lord, four things can happen. One of them is that your supplication will be answered right away. The second one is that a God, out of His wisdom, He knows that what you're asking for is actually not good for you, and He gives you something else which is actually better for you.
Right.
The third is that He delays answering the supplication till the hereafter, where you get it. When you get it in the hereafter, it will be much better, right?
Right.
And the last one is that that supplication that you're making, those prayers that you're making, by the mercy of God, will be used to alleviate some difficulty that might happen to you that you didn't even know about. So supplication is a great, great weapon. So these are some of the things we can do to alleviate the test and make it easy for us.
SubhanAllah, I know we've run out of time and there's been a lot of calls, but unfortunately we haven't been able to take any. Inshallah, we'll try to...
Is there someone they can contact to get copies of
you
the show?
You guys can email us, inshallah, Mecca1, which is MECCAONE at KSJS.org, and forward all your email and your requests, and we'll keep you updated with what's going on with Mecca1. I'd like to thank my brother.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I love to be here, man.
Sheikh Suhaib. And we'll be on Mecca 1 right here in this station.
Hey, tell me about the Tafsir, man.
What Tafsir? Oh, yeah. Tafsir is going down at MCA, which is every Wednesday night after...
7:45 next week.
After... Is it after Isha
Maghrib
prayer?
Next week.
Oh, after Maghrib. So it's after the sunset prayer, and that's going down every Wednesday. If you guys want to sit in and get some, your knowledge on, you know what I'm saying? This is another study session, okay, to prepare for the test. So that's going down on Wednesday, and for all other events, just email us and we'll keep you updated, inshallah. Our homie who's coming up next is coming on, so I advise you guys, you know, he's going to be playing some bumping house and some crazy trance beats. So
Astaghfirullah.
So I advise you guys to turn off your radio and go pray and prepare for your test, okay? Because you ain't going to live here for like 50, 80 years like you think you are, you know what I'm saying? SubhanAllah. We need a, inshallah. Okay, anyways, I'm done. I'll catch you guys later, inshallah. Thanks for listening. Mecca 1, right here in this station, 90.5 FM, KSJS. Assalamu alaikum.
Mecca 1.
The views expressed on Mecca 1 do not necessarily reflect those of the KSJS staff or management, nor do they reflect the views of the San Jose State University, who holds the license of the station. For questions, comments, or more information regarding Mecca 1, contact us at the Public Affairs Department. Attention to Mecca 1, KSJS 90.5 FM, room HGH 132, San Jose, California 95192. Or you can also email us at mecca1@ksjs.org. That's MECCAONE@KSJS.org.
One God.
One people.
One message.
One life.
Mecca 1.